Book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Proverbs, chapter 18. I call your attention to one verse. In verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Something that no one can bear is a wounded spirit. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to let the Holy Spirit go ahead and speak through me as I preach the Word of God to you. Heavenly Father, bless as the Word of God goes forth. Not only do I need the power to be able to preach clearly that people can understand, that your church might be edified, but also it takes the hearing of your flock, your people, to open their ears, understand, and then apply. Holy Spirit, do your convicting power, do your eye-opening power in our midst. We didn't gather together today just to put in a little time and call that worship. No, Lord, we've come to open our minds and open our hearts so you can speak to us about our own personal lives. We hide nothing from you. Bless as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A wounded spirit. You see, there's two spirits for a Christian. We are born body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells you that. Because we're made in God in image. Book of Genesis, chapter 1, he said that he was, let us make man in our own image. He said, let us. That means there's more than one. Yes, there is. It's called the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are made in his image that we are a body, a soul, and a spirit. We're made in his image, so we are born with a spirit. We're not born with the Holy Spirit. He comes when we get saved. But we have our own spirit. What is that spirit? It comes out in our attitude. It comes out in our how we are. Everybody goes ahead and portrays a certain spirit that comes out of us naturally. And boy, when we're unsaved, when we're lost, as we are right from the cradle, we don't have to work at being a sinner. We're already a sinner. We're born in sin. Don't have to teach those little children to do bad. And they do it automatically. You have to teach them to do right. Just proves that we're sinners and we, without any way to be justified before God, if we die in that state, we will be in hell forever. But if we realize that Jesus Christ is the one that paid for our sin on the cross, then the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells us. After we receive him, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, John 1:12 tells us. So the Holy Spirit comes in. Now we got two spirits. We got the Holy Spirit indwelling us in our spirit that we were born with. And our spirit comes out in the attitude that we have. So you know what Satan wants to do. He wants to break down that spirit we're born with. He wants us to act and talk and everything like we did when we were lost. 22 years of age, I realized that I was a lost sinner and cried out to the Lord and received Him as my Lord and Savior. Before that, it was a drunk, curse, and everything else you could think of. But He started working, the Holy Spirit did, on my spirit. And my life started to change. I didn't smoke anymore, didn't drink anymore, didn't curse anymore. Because God was changing my spirit. He's changing my life. And that's what He's supposed to do. To make us more like Jesus. But it tells us here in our text that, boy, when that spirit is wounded, verse 14, who can bear that? I want to preach to you about a wounded spirit this morning. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2, please. 2 Kings chapter 2. It's somewhere in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 6. It talks about Elijah, and it says, "And Elijah said unto him," verse 5 tells you who the him is, that's Elisha. You see, there were two close godly friends. Almost named alike. One was Elijah with a J, and his godly brother in the faith, Elisha, with an SH on it. And so they were always together, inseparable. And he said there in verse 6, "And Elijah said unto him, Tarry," that means wait, "I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on." So wherever Elijah went, Elisha went as well. They were inseparable. Good friends together. "And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view far off, and they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle," a mantle was a heavy cloth like a blanket that people wore, keep them from the elements and so forth, "and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither," they divided apart, "so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, and if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." We'll stop there. That's not the whole story, but the important thing is that Elijah said, if you see me, go up, then I will give you a double portion of my spirit, not the Holy Spirit. That's what Elisha wanted. Hard thing to do. He wanted the same kind of spirit that was in Elijah, his friend. He not only wanted just the same thing, he wanted a double portion of that. If you study Elijah, he did 8 miracles. How many do you think Elisha did after that? 16. Mm-hmm. People have different kinds of spirits. Some people have a fortified spirit, a persistent spirit. They never give up, so forth. Other Christians, they need a lot of work, it seems. You know, they cower away. They won't open their mouths and speak for the Lord or whatever. They just got that different spirit. Elisha saw the boldness and everything in Elijah and the miracles that he did, and he said, I want a double portion of that. That I want in my life. Amen. But if you were to read 1 Kings 9, you'll find out that in 1 Kings 18, Elijah called down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel, and he killed 450 worshipers, prophets of Baal, priests of Baal. That was an ungodly idolatry religion under Jezebel and Ahab. When he found out that Jezebel was after him and nothing else had happened to the nation of Israel, he went 20 miles away and sat down under a juniper tree, and he said, it's better if I die. He thought, everybody's seen this miracle of fire coming down from heaven and so forth, and the judgment of God upon the false prophets, the priests, the Baal, they would certainly repent. Nobody repented. It's amazing how that can happen. You know, I get that all the time, you know, and I'm witnessing to somebody about the Lord. Well, you know, if I saw a miracle right in front of me, then I'd believe the Bible. No, you wouldn't. They never do. Bible's full of miracles done right before them. When Moses came to Pharaoh and so forth, did these plagues and so forth, these miracles. It took 10 plagues. He even let him go, and then he still came after him. So here he is. The whole point of it is Elijah ran, and he was depressed. Said, it's better for me to die. You know, your spirit that you have within you is going to kind of dictate how much you're going to do for God before you die. That's where missionaries come in too. Boy, they go to some areas of this old world, you would say, who in the right mind would want to go over and live there and be a witness? That's because God called them. I never thought I'd be a preacher, that's for sure, the background I had. But it's been 43 years now I've been preaching. Saved over 50 years. I'm Methuselah. I'm 969 years old. Oldest man in the Bible. No, but close. The whole thing is, when God intervenes, he's the only one that can take care of your spirit. If you allow the Holy Spirit to influence your spirit, even when you're hurt, even when you're depressed, even when you have thoughts of suicide, this is Elijah. This is the guy that called down fire. This is the one that did 8 miracles. Saying these words. Wow. Your spirit will influence how much you do for the Lord with your life. Go over to 3 John, if you would, please. 3 John, way in the back of the Bible, just before the book of Revelation. little book. Book of 3 John, verse 2. It's only one chapter. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Body, soul, and spirit. You know what keeps your soul happy, rejoicing? Your spirit. What makes your spirit right? The Holy Spirit. That's where we get our fights with the devil and everything else. He attacks our soul, or our spirit. And it's up to us whether we're going to get the godly influence that you have from the Bible and preachers and other good Christians and so forth, or you're going to allow the devil to attack your spirit. And you'll get depressed and get into trouble. You won't make the right decisions on things and everything else. Elijah is like that. And he said, "I want your body," in in 3 John, "that your body, your health, would be as even as your soul prosperous." You see, if you've ever read the little book, None of These Diseases, you need to get that book and read it. About a Christian doctor, and he shows how all of these things come in and make us sick. We don't realize it, but it's not something physical that's wrong with us. But it's all of these pressures of the world and stress and everything else, and because he would examine somebody, and nothing wrong with you and so forth. And but he saw that when the soul, when that spirit gets healed, all of a sudden the sickness leaves. "Oh, doctor, I'm okay. But I was diagnosed with what?" And he points all of that out. There's a connection. He said, as your health is, that your soul would be too. You know what you need to do? You need to get your inside fixed. We are all upset about our outside, you know. Boy, we gotta, you know. Now, you should keep yourself healthy and eat the right things and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing how many will go to the gym, get all the muscles and everything, and eat the right things and herbs and never go to church. Never read a Bible. Never think about eternity. They are sick inside. Even Christians will do the same kind of thing. Amazing. Go to Romans chapter 8, please. The book of Romans chapter 8. Everything I preach is try to back up with book, chapter, and verse, so it's not my opinion you're getting. You're getting the Word of God. Amen. Because that's the only thing that has power to help you within your life, and that's why I'm preaching to you this morning, because I love you and I want you to be healed. I want you to be happy, have a song in your heart, a wounded spirit. Who can bear? Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. It says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." There's two spirits right there in the same verse. Your spirit and God's Holy Spirit. Just in case you thought I was making up something. You're made up of body, soul, and spirit. You need to keep all three parts healthy. Important that you do. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." That's what Paul said to Timothy. Yeah. You're supposed to be an example to the believers by your spirit. You easy to get along with. You got a bad spirit about yourself. Need some help with that spirit. Maybe you got a wounded spirit. Something happened to you. Bad upbringing, or somebody did something bad to you, lied to you, whatever it was. And some people never get over a wounded spirit. Who can bear? Whenever a question is asked like that in the Bible, God's the only answer. Because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. He's your answer, brother. He's your answer. The wounded spirit. God's spirit is also likened unto a dove in the Bible. You ever been around a dove? Boy, they skittish. Whew. I mean, you just get close and we got a bird feeder on our back deck and everything. We see all kinds of birds coming, finches and everything, you know. Common bird, but every once in a while we'll get a dove. Come, you know, all of that. And boy, I'll come to the door and they'll sense that and make all kinds of noise, take off. The Holy Spirit, they're sensitive. Did you notice that the Holy Spirit has influence on some people and not on other people? Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit don't want to be around that spirit that resists him all the time. If you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit and you can't lose it. Same as your salvation, you cannot lose that. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit. You would never go to heaven if the Spirit left you. The Holy Spirit left you. Like a dove, doesn't want to be around that kind of stuff. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. As always, I got a 3-hour message, trying to do it in 45 minutes. But I'm sure we'll be out by 2 anyway. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, shouting outwards and so forth, evil speaking, talking bad about people, be put away from you with all malice or wanting to do harm to people. And be ye kind to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Did you notice in verse 30 that not only your spirit can be wounded, but the Holy Spirit can also? He can be grieved. He can be quenched, tells us in Thessalonians 5. Go back to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Did you come to hear something from the Lord? Did you come to hear something from the Lord?
Amen.
Let the Lord speak to you about this. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. He says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." I brought this out before, but it talks about bones, and that's where the marrow is inside the bones that the Bible's talking about. And that's where your blood comes from in the human body. You get a broken spirit. You get a wounded spirit, my friends. You start kissing your health goodbye. But he said there, a merry heart, where's that come from? Your spirit. Doeth good, like a medicine. You see, the inside's going to affect the outside. Bible says it over and over again. It's going to ruin your health walking around with a wounded spirit. You don't have to. Go to Psalm 109, please. Psalm 109. Psalm 109, verse 22. It says, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Your heart, it's not talking about your pumper here. It's talking about your spirit up here. Your frontal lobe, where you receive the Lord Jesus Christ or you don't. You reject him. Where you balance things. Where you make decisions from. You see how your spirit affects the choices you make in life? I would suggest not walking around the rest of your life with a wounded spirit. You don't know how bad it can be when you make the wrong choice and the wrong decision. There are signs to a wounded spirit. As the name itself implies, wounded, and I mean a wounded spirit hurts. It's a wound. A wounded spirit, it's touchy. It's a bruise. It's sensitive. It brings aches. It brings swelling. It brings a throb. If you got something wounded, let's say I had a wound on my hand, that didn't hurt me at all. But if that thing was wounded, and it's starting to heal and everything, sensitive. You got a wounded spirit, you're going to be sensitive about everything. Make you paranoid. Oh, what'd they mean by that? Why'd they say that to me? You have a wounded spirit, you have a reduced tolerance of pain. You used to be tough, but now you're super sensitive on the same area now. You know me. I choose. Did you know everybody can choose in life? Amen. We got a free will. I choose not to have a wounded spirit. And people said a lot of things to me over my lifetime. They've done a lot of things to me over my lifetime. I can be depressed and discouraged for about a day. And then I kick myself where I need to be kicked to get out of it. I want to be on top side. I want to be an overcomer. I want to be a victor. How about you? Only the Holy Spirit, as it works upon your spirit, will give you an attitude that you are going to keep on for the Lord no matter what. When you have a wounded spirit, you've got the desire to run. Run away. Brother, if you get a snake bite, don't run. That just forces it more and more into your blood system. You'll die a lot quicker. And you shouldn't be out in the woods without anybody else anyway around that can go for help. You stay. It's just like animals as well. When an animal is shot like a deer or something, hunting season coming up and everything, they just get wounded. They'll go burrow in a dense thicket and everything. You'll never catch them. You'll never find them until the next spring. Then you can smell them. You'll find out. Have that desire to run away. When you have a wounded spirit, we used to have a dog. We had two dogs when the kids were growing up, and one of them broke his leg. He did it himself. He was jumping up and down for his food and everything, you know. And he landed wrong on one leg. And off he ran. He went upstairs and crawled underneath a bed. We didn't know where he went. When I tried to bring him out so I could, you know, try to see what's going on, he was showing his teeth and biting. I said, wounded animals would do that. Uh-huh. It's in their spirit to do that. When it's wounded, and that's what even we will do for wounded as well, we'll try to hide and run away and lick our wounds. That was a good dog. That was a friendly dog. Never bit anybody. But when he was wounded, look out. You'll want to quit good things if you have a wounded spirit. That amazes me. Why would you stay away from good things just because something bad things happen to you? Not making sense at all. Remember how they told you about your spirit and making decisions? A sign of a wounded spirit is increased rage. A temper. Go to Hosea. Hosea chapter 13. It's somewhere back here in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea is the way I memorized it. The book of Hosea, chapter 13, and verse 8. He said, I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion, the wild beast shall tear them. The innocent one that was attacked. And then, when you have a wounded spirit, you'll attack innocent people too. People that did nothing wrong. They're trying to help you. You turn against them. You run away from them. You get an attitude. Remember what I told you about the spirit? It's an attitude. You'll have no control of your tongue. You'll lie and exaggerate. Talk about people and put them down. If you've got a wounded spirit, you'll be self-centered. You'll have no satisfaction in your life. You won't be satisfied with anything. Somebody said people are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs but follow only top dogs. Fight for the same underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. All about your spirit. You know where those attitudes come from? You entertaining those attitudes. Brother Hiles, great preacher of the past, he said this: I choose my thoughts according to what kind of mood I want to be in. I don't let thoughts capture me. I capture them. Your thought life has a lot to do with what kind of mood or your spirit is. You keep on dwelling that hurt all your life, bringing it up again and again, going over, rehearsing it. Oh, I deserve to be hurt. I deserve to be mad about it. I'll never be happy again in my life, and I deserve it. Wounded spirit. Maybe you know some folks like that. Maybe you're one of folks. I don't know. There's no satisfaction. Nothing can be good enough for them now. Everybody has, you know, they're pessimistic about everything. That glass is half empty instead of half full. The accomplishments you could make, oh, they're out of reach. You got a wounded spirit. You have an attitude of hopelessness. No purpose. You focus on your hurt. You don't focus on your healing. And you won't trust anyone. Everybody's insincere, you say. Obstacles in ancient times, a king had a boulder placed on a roadway. Then he hid himself and watched to see if anyone would remove the huge rock. Some of the king's wealthiest merchants and courtiers came by and simply walked around it. Many loudly blamed the king for not keeping the roads clear, but none did anything about getting the stone out of the way. Then a peasant came along carrying a load of vegetables. Upon approaching the boulder, the peasant laid down his burden and tried to move the stone to the side of the road. After much pushing and straining, he finally succeeded. After the peasant picked up his load of vegetables, he noticed a purse lying in the road where the boulder had been. The purse contained many gold coins and a note from the king indicating that the gold was for the person who removed the boulder from the roadway. The peasant learned what many of us never understand. Every obstacle presents an opportunity to improve our condition. You don't know what's around the corner. There's a lot of hurts in life. There's a lot of evil, wicked people out there in life. A lot of Jezebels out there. like wanted to kill Elijah, the man of God. Thou destroy anyone and everything. I've seen my full of them in my time. Don't care who they hurt. They're just self-centered. And they keep rehearsing their wounded spirit over and over again. But I got good news in closing. There are steps to healing. Steps to healing. Jeremiah chapter 30. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30 and in verse 17, call your attention. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. You know, there's someone that seeks after you this morning. Just like everything in life that comes upon you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Lift up your heads. How many times do you ever look up? You're always looking out the roadway and the ground and the work and everything. Everything's hot. Why don't you try vertical sometimes, huh? The answer is still there for life. Amen. A successful, happy life that God wants you to have. And he wants to heal that wounded spirit. It's an internal wound that Hosea was talking about, and Jeremiah as well. If you got a wounded spirit, why don't you just ask the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, ask the Holy Spirit to heal you. You believe God can heal? I'm not talking about the Ernest Angley kind of thing. No. Heal! Yeah, okay. I'm talking about something real. I'm talking about a real God that's still alive. God isn't dead. I know he's alive. I just talked to him. Amen. Yeah. He's all well and healthy. Nothing phases him. He's still almighty as he's always been. And he still has the answers to life because he's the one that gave you life. And one day he'll be the one that takes life away from you. And you'll have nothing to say about it. Don't try to fight God. Spend your life doing that. Go in your own way. Having your own ideas, having your own wisdom. Yeah, you got a wisdom of the world. You don't have the wisdom of God. God's got the answer to your wounded spirit. Go to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. As I said, I'll back up everything I say with Scripture. Will you take the Lord Jesus' words on the subject? John 14 and verse 26. Jesus says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. Not what somebody else has said, not what the psychiatrist has said, not what the psychologist has said, not what the doctors have said, what I have said. He says his name's the Comforter. He's the healer. He's the one that can comfort you. With a wounded spirit, you won't be comforted about anything. You want your way to feel sorry for me. I got a wounded spirit. I've been misused. Yeah. I think everybody who draws a breath has it. A lot of things aren't fair in life, are they? You don't want to get that kind of spirit. You don't want to get a wounded spirit. Who can bear? You can't bear it. You'll drive yourself right into the ground. You'll waste your life having a pity party over yourself. Rather than getting a strong spirit. When you fall down, you get right up. You keep going for the Lord. You know what you need to do? You need to get around a refresher. Amen. God's made some of those. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. I'm close to closing. And it's not even 2 yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul, in closing, speaking to the Corinthians, he says in verse 17, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Some people in Corinth, they lacked a good spirit, a good attitude, a boldness, a persistence to continue living right, to living their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, I remember these guys, and I'm going to name them, and I'm going to put them right in the Bible so people can read their names for thousands of years. You never heard of these guys, did you? Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. But they're the refreshers. Even Paul, look at the stuff that happened to the Apostle Paul, the shipwreck, the stoning, the being thrown in prison. On and on. You talk about somebody, he had a reason to have a wounded spirit, but he wouldn't do it. They throw him in prison with Silas, and at midnight they sang songs. Hallelujah. And all of the prisoners heard them. In other words, they were Baptists, they were singing loud, brother. And the jailer heard him too. And he didn't know what to do about all this, the earthquake and everything else. In Acts chapter 16. And the jailer brought him out of prison. And he knelt in front of him and he pleaded, "What must I do to be saved?" You know, a good spirit, a healthy spirit, is the answer to some people getting saved too. Because they can see it. You influence people. Though you need to get around refreshers, those that have their spirit under control. Make decisions based on Bible principle, not on emotions. But don't quit your responsibilities within life. Two more scriptures and I'll close. Proverbs 12, please. Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 25. It says, "Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." I'm trying to give you a good word this morning. I hope you're glad about it. I don't want you walking around stooped, defeated, terrible spirit and attitude about you. Nobody wants to be around you. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, please, and we close. Trying to give you the steps to healing of a wounded spirit. And I say there's steps to this because you know what? As much as I know the answer, I can't force that on you. You have to willingly receive the truth into yourself. Repent. Change your mind. Confess it. And be refreshed. What about that attitude? What about that hopelessness and everything else? Philippians chapter 4. It starts off in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Does that say always or just for a while? Then it drops down to verse 8 and it says, finally. So he started with rejoice. Now he explains it and he says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. When you keep on thinking about all the bad things, all of the hurts, all of the divorces, all of the bad childhood, you keep on that, you'll never be healed of a wounded spirit. But if you think on these kind of things, you can rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. That'll come. Let the Holy Spirit that's been speaking to you these last 45 minutes go ahead and impress upon you to receive the truth. What you think about is the way you're going to be. That's what your spirit's going to be. What a changed person you could be if you allow God to do His work. If you're here this morning and you're not really saved, you don't know for sure you go to heaven. You died right now. I plead with you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the only real friend you have in life, the only one that loved you enough to go to that cross and shed His blood for your sins. And He'll freely give you eternal life. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. You don't have to join a church to go to heaven. You don't have to do anything. No work at all, just repent, turn, change your mind, and put your trust in Christ alone to get there. You see, God's waiting on you. He never forces anybody to go to heaven. But He gives you the opportunity, He gives you the choice. Make the right choice. I pray you will. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time we spend in Your holy word. The word that has the answer to our lives. The one that has the answer to all of our problems and things that we go through. Help our wounded spirit to be healed this morning. Help us to take the prescription from the great physician of thinking on these things so we can rejoice. Have Your will done in each life, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn books, please. I would have to sing number 220 this morning because that's the answer again. Get your eyes off your problems and the things of the past. Turn your eyes on Jesus. On Jesus. He's the only one who can help you. The Holy Spirit living within you, if you're saved. If you're not saved, there is no answer but Jesus. You have to receive him first. The Holy Spirit come in and do his wonderful work in your life. That's the way it works. My suggestion in this song is to turn your eyes upon Jesus. You got your eyes on the wrong thing. You got your eyes on wrong people. You got your eyes on churches and pastors and ministers and so-called Christians at work and everything. You see all the fallacies. Get your eyes on Jesus. He's the only one that's holy. He's the only one that's perfect. If you need to come to the altar this morning, I encourage you to. Humble yourself, kneel at this altar, and get some things right with God. Get that spirit healed this morning. Don't walk around, don't walk out of this building with a wounded spirit. No reason. If you're lost this morning, won't you come and receive Christ as your Savior? Walk down this aisle, be down here to meet you. You'll be able to know for sure you're going to heaven. Someone chose you in the Bible. How to be saved. Let's all stand as we sing number 220. Won't you come as we sing? Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There is light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
We're just going to sing that last concert. Holy Spirit. Why don't you come down this aisle and get some things right? Why don't you come down and get saved? Don't you allow Satan to keep you in that pew when you belong here? You only have so many chances in life to get things straight. Chance to go to heaven. Chance to live a victorious Christian life. It's up to you. You're among friends. We love each other. Everybody in here. Won't you come as we sing on that last stanza?
His word cannot fail you, he promised. Believe in and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. All earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you were here this morning. I want to continue trying to help you in any way that I can. If you need counseling or anything, see me on the way out. Give me a phone call later, whatever it takes. I want to be a blessing to you. Certainly don't want you to walk around with a wounded spirit. There's a lot for you to do for the Lord if you're saved. I pray that you'll do it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy that is only given from above. A joy that lasts. Help us to have our spirit yield to the Holy Spirit, that we might be a witness for you. Thank you for this service. For this time together, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless your fellowship with one another. One, please.
Right here.
your heart. We'll see you next week.
Yes, take care.
God bless. Give
you all the good stuff.
Down on the nursery, take care of the little ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
They taught one day of evolution, but they said you can go to the library. Because even the teacher was like, I don't even want to teach this, but you have to. So they said, but if you don't want to hear it, it's okay, you can go to the library. So you don't.
Well, they teach you just what you want to hear. Just what they want to hear.
Well, you know, they didn't want, because they taught religion, so they didn't want you to have to.
Yeah, hear it. Right. Okay.
We go through a backhoe.
Right.
And they all do the evolution, they do all the.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than Jones, yeah. That's cheaper because he's only got it. He's on 11:30, so he's only got it.